course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends. Today, we're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. Weirdly enough, I was in Orlando, and some guy approached me and tried to offer me some of his blood. Said he was the goat or something.
The goat?
The
Interesting.
goat. I don't know.
I hope you didn't partake.
I didn't.
That's probably a good call, so... But welcome back, Ike. You've been on vacation, out cruising the international waters, visiting the Bahamas, celebrating your birthday and your anniversary. But more importantly, though, no offense to those things, but for the purpose of the podcast, you mentioned Orlando. Tell us about your visit to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, I went to Halloween Horror Night. We went on a Friday, so we were trying to strategically go at a time where we thought that it would be perhaps a modicum of less busyness, and it was pretty busy, but it was good. We basically immediately booked it for the Terrifier House. That was like our number one. We wanted to go to the Terrifier House. We wanted to see it. I kept trying to. There was a couple people dressed up as Art the Clown wandering around. I kept trying to get a picture with them, but they move so fast, and they're in character. So a lot of the times, if you approach them, they're just going to kind of look at you weird and run away. But we went through the Terrifier House. It was really cool. The one bad thing is that we could not take any pictures of the house itself. Now, the thing that I thought was weird about this is that the houses are in like these like studio type spaces. They build these sets completely inside, so you cannot take pictures, because as soon as you go in, they've got people like standing there watching you and everything else. Now, had I gone in with maybe like a GoPro or some other hidden kind of camera, I probably could have gotten away with it. But they're really on top of that. But the Terrifier House was great. It had all the highlights of the Terrifier movies.
Had some smell-o-vision, right?
It did. So when you're walking up, it kind of smells like bleach outside of the house, and then when you go in, there's like a bleach smell in there. It's not actual bleach, but they spray water on you and they pump in the scent of bleach, so it seems like you're getting sprayed with bleach, kind of like Allie. I think it's Allie in the second movie who does that. And then there's a later part where you go into like a bathroom, and yeah, he's writing on the walls and shit, so it smells like shit. It wasn't super bad. It kind of reminded me of like, do you remember like those gag fart spray type things? It kind of reminded me of that. I was expecting to be a lot worse. Kayla is super sensitive to like really bad smells, so I was kind of thinking that she was going to start gagging or something, but she was perfectly fine. But no, it was great. The Terrifier House was awesome. A lot of really cool effects and, kind of models and whatnot. And, the Art the Clowns, they were really done well. And, there was also a little pale girl towards the end that was really cool. I'm assuming it was an adult, cause I don't know if kids can work in an 18 plus haunted house and also be out that late, but and then we also went to the Five Nights at Freddy's house, which is really great. The animatronics were actually made in conjunction with Jim Henson's workshop for the house, so they were absolutely spectacular. That one was Terrifier was great, but I think honestly the Terrifier one really relied on just Art the Clown rather than reaching into some of the recesses of like the characters and getting more people in there. The Five Nights, I feel like, was a little bit better because it had all this cast of characters to kind of make it more fresh, if that makes sense.
Sure. I wouldn't have known what the fuck was going on, even after watching that movie. But
it's a weird movie. Knowing what I know about the movies and the books and the games, it was really a lot of fun. They had some cool little nods in there, too.
Well, all right. Sounds like a lot of fun. Very, very cool. If anybody else out there has been to Halloween Horror Nights, either this year or in the past, hit us up on social media. We'd love to hear your feedback, hear your responses, hear your stories. What did you think of the shit smell in the
Oh,
Terrifier house? I mean, did you think it's smelled appropriate or not? I'm all about that. I wonder if we could put up a poll on what you call it, X. There you go. And yeah, did you think the shit smell in the Terrifier house was authentic or not?
yeah.
So I guess before we move on, full disclosure here, and I'm disclosing to you as well. I had a rough day at work today, right? It's just been busy this week. No, I mean, nothing outlandish, but just too much shit going on. Too many fires put out, right? So when I got off, I usually have a quick drink before we record, just to calm me for that transition period, right? Just to mellow me a little bit. Which I had that drink today. But I also did, for full disclosure, had a THC shot. Very legal. Anybody out there wants to, whatever, pop me or whatever, not. It's a legal thing, sold to me from a store here in town. I took one the other day, didn't do anything to me but mellow me out. I mean, it was like nothing, hardly. But I don't know what it will do today with some alcohol in the mix. So I don't know. If I act wacky, that's why. If I say anything offensive, that's why. If I fall asleep, that's why. I am feeling pretty cool and mellow. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't give a fuck about work today anymore. Yeah, I don't perceive or foresee I guess shit like that's gonna happen. I'm gonna mix up words probably. No, I don't foresee any problems, but if it happens, there you go. Now everybody can laugh at my expense at the old man doing a THC shot. So have it. Let's see what happens here. We're on this journey together, folks. I guess to bring it back around, I didn't even mention today. Excuse me. We are reviewing the movie Him, which is out in theaters now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get there, did you watch anything else?
Oh man, I watched a couple movies on the cruise ship. I got to use a there's a pardon me, a theater on the cruise ship, so I was able to rewatch Conjuring because I know we reviewed it last time I was on, and then we also watched him on there. But also, I watched a couple horror movies in the cabin. They had some on demand horror movies, and well, I guess horror movie. It was called The Devil's Hand. It was all right. It wasn't too bad. It was kind of like a possession kind of type deal, but it was fun. Wasn't anything crazy, but that's about it.
All right. Well, let's see. I did watch a movie called Night of the Reaper on Shudder. And I think it's a Shudder exclusive. I'm pretty sure it is. And it's kind of a throwback to like an 80s slasher type movie. It's actually set in the 80s. So I didn't know what to expect, but it was really good. It wasn't hokey, in that throwback kind of way. It was very much felt like it was just set in that time. They didn't try to cram it down your throat that it was the 80s. Yeah, it was actually pretty good. It very slasher-esque, had, a nice ending, nice twist, a nice wrap up to what it was and what happened. So, yeah, I'd recommend people go give it a watch. We do hope everybody listening is already a subscriber to Shudder because we plug them all the time. But if you're not, go subscribe and then watch Night of the Reaper. Dave gives it a nice recommendation. So, but otherwise, I didn't watch anything else. There was a couple of things I watched last week when Monica was here. I can't remember what. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what the movie was. I watched the second season of Wednesday, which was pretty good. But I don't remember what the movie I watched last week was. But I guess that's how much it stuck with me. So be it. So all right then, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back to the news. All right, so we're going to start off with some Scream 7 news. Always a good time. There are rumors that Hayden Panettiere will once again play Kirby Reed in Scream 7. However, it has not been confirmed. The movie is scheduled to release in theaters on February 27, 2026. So we are getting close. I mean, right. we're in the end of the year. I mean, this is under 6 months away, and it's interesting. It's coming around, but that'd be great. It'd be great to see Kirby Reed again. I could definitely see her being like a kill in the beginning of the movie, sort of that cold open. And it would be a good way to save some harder hitting kills for later in the movie, but it would definitely get you invested very quickly. But yeah, I'd be down for this. Hopefully they do follow through and she's in it.
Yeah, I hope so. I like Kirby. I thought she was definitely a bright spot in the last movie. So yeah, hopefully, I mean, it could be a good character to another character to kind of tie everything together, keep it flowing. I don't know. I saw this and I was like, oh, they haven't announced that. I guess because everybody you can think of is going to be in Scream 7. I guess I just assumed that she was already going to be in it somehow. And they'd already announced this. But I guess supposedly not confirmed, but yet there's rumors. So let's hope.
Right. That's what I was going to say. They've confirmed a lot of people, but it's, you know, we're just waiting for more to get confirmed at this point.
It would totally suck to be the one or two left out.
Right. The one or two living people who are. Yeah. That's true. But very good. We'll keep an eye for that. And as always, if we get any more news, we always come on here with our Scream 7.
That's right. That's right. Worry. Feels kind of natural to get back to some Scream 7 rumors right. And news. Man,
it is.
We've missed you, Ghostface.
I love that. But very good. So we're going to hop down to 28 Years Later is now available on Netflix. That's all there is to say. Yeah, absolutely. It was good. I think we both gave a pretty good rating, and the other one's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, it is. That's right. What is it called? Bone something or other?
Bone Temple.
Bone Temple, which is peculiar, right? The first one with like a subtitle like that. I don't know. Bone Temple sounds like a weird metal band, but... I don't know. 20 Years Later was fun. And seems like it's been taking a while to get to streaming. I don't know. I guess if it's performing well, video on demand, they don't want to rush it. But I don't know. My concept of time is very weird because, like, we review movies and I feel like it's been forever. But you find out it's been like 2 weeks. It's very peculiar right now. But, and not because of the THC. I'm just saying that. Just in general. I don't know what I was saying. Go watch the movie.
Yes, go watch it. Check it out on Netflix. Very good. Jumping now to Saturday Night Live veteran Kenan Thompson is producing a Sleepaway Camp remake with original writer and director Robert Hiltzik on board. You might know Kenan Thompson from such things as All That or Kenan and Kel. From
Good Burger.
Good Burger, yep, back in the Dizzy. Welcome to the Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? Such a good time. And
although he's been on Saturday Night Live like 20 years now.
I was going to say, he's been on Saturday Night Live for a hot fucking minute, dude.
It's 22 unreal. Years. Like literally, like the whole cast is getting overturned for next season. All these people leaving. But I haven't heard anything about Kenan. I mean, it's like, I don't know if he's got something on Lorne Michaels or what, but he's like the one guy that is always on that show. Not saying he's not deserving. He's a funny dude. But, he's always there. It's weird.
But even some of the best cast members, they still get tossed out. I mean, a lot of them.
Yeah, but a lot of them leave because, you know, they start getting movie opportunities. I don't know. I guess Kenan's in that weird thing, right, where he got very popular, did some of the movie stuff. And then when that started to kind of drive, that's when he went to Saturday Night Live. It was weird. It was almost like reverse order of everybody else. You know, he didn't start on Saturday Night Live, you know, so he came later. So now this is his thing, so. But anyway, I guess bringing it back to Sleepaway Camp, I don't know what to think of this. I'm right now of a very mixed mind because there's that whole part of me that was like, yeah, let's redo it. Let's see what we can do now. You know, you got the original writer and director on board. I like that. I would hope, you know, Felisa Rose would at least have a cameo or something in it in some way, right? So there's that one side where it's like, oh, that sounds cool. I'm excited. But then there's that whole side of me. It's like, but the first movie was so good. How are you going to do it again? You can't do that big. I mean, the big twist at the end, doesn't everybody know that already? So it's like, what are you going to do? So it's, I there's that whole side of me. It's like, why touch it? Why do this? But I mean, I don't know. They remake everything. So not in just horror, but just in general. You know, there's prequels, sequels, requels, time jump. I mean, remakes. It's just they, everything is cashing in on something in the past. I don't know. This doesn't feel like a cash in type thing. I mean, it's Sleepaway Camp. It's not like it was this huge movie, but I don't know. I'm of a very mixed mind on what to feel about this.
I think that this is going to be one of those good old, we're going to have to wait to see it until we believe it, or wait to see it till we, because like you said, Sleepaway Camp has that sort of that iconicness to it, that it's really hard for anyone to be like, oh yeah, I'm super excited for, you know, Kenan Thompson. No, not to disparage Kenan Thompson, but Kenan Thompson to produce a horror movie, which I don't know that he's ever done before. And again, it's not a drag on Kenan Thompson. I love him so much. He's a huge part of my childhood, but you kind of have to doubt whether or not that movie itself is going to be good, A, and then B, whether or not we're going to be able to truly give a plot twist like we were given with the original.
Yeah,
So
I mean, how are they going to do that? I just,
that's.
I mean, are they going to try something different? Or I don't understand, because it'll be weird to sit there and watch knowing that twist the whole time along. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It just, it seems like a peculiar movie to remake to me, because it just seems like it would be difficult to remake it. You capture that spark it had. It just doesn't. I don't know. It's not just. It had something different, right? It wasn't just that straight up, oh, we reveal a killer, so be it. It had another level, another layer onto that. Not only revealing who it was, but again, I don't know if anybody who's listening has not seen Sleepaway Camp. If you haven't, good grief. But there was a whole nother reveal as well. So it's like, and you know, when you first watch it and don't know any of that, it's kind of, it is shocking, right? It is a big thing. Not in a bad way. I'm just saying it's, you don't expect it. And how are you going to recapture that? I don't know. Seems weird.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. So we'll have to see what happens, and we'll give you guys more news when we get it. So moving on to Robert Englund will voice Jiminy Cricket in the upcoming Pooniverse movie, Pinocchio on Spring. No release date is available before this movie yet, but this is always good news. Robert Englund doing his little part to cameo. It's probably going to be a little more than a cameo. Jiminy Cricket is a pretty large part of the original, you know, Pinocchio story and concept, or at least the, I should say, the movie. If I remember correctly, pretty sure in like the actual story, Pinocchio kills Jiminy Cricket. If
Well,
I could be wrong, so
we very well might see that in this movie. I don't know.
no, absolutely, but no, this is great. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
just waiting for them to give us a release date now.
I don't know. But it, yeah, that, I mean, it is cool, right? It's, you know, you're gonna have Jiminy Cricket in. Ah, that makes sense, right? And then, but to get someone like Robert Englund, that's cool. That's I love that. So, and it also, I think, speaks to the growing success of whatever it is, the Twisted Childhood universe, or as we call it, the Pooniverse. It's just, it's growing. It's gaining momentum all the time. So, good deal.
Absolutely. That's very cool. Last little bit of news. Bring Her Back will be streaming on HBO Max beginning October 3rd. Bring Her Back, man. This was such a good movie. I mean, this was such a low-key movie too. It really, to me, it really came from nowhere. I don't know. I don't know. I just didn't really see much about it, and then it came out and it was just so good. But you know, this is done by the Philippou brothers, who of course did other things, such as Talk to Me and The Babadook, I think they worked on. But no, I'm super stoked for this.
Yeah, me too. It was great. It was, we didn't even review it, right? We didn't think much of it. Had a limited theatrical release, I think. Just really flew under the radar. We didn't think much of it. Something else was there. We didn't even officially review this, and but yet here it is, a strong candidate for top five movie of the first half of the year. And so who? Yeah, I mean, that's unreal. But yeah, great movie. I'm looking forward to rewatching it if you've not seen it, which there's probably a lot of you that haven't. Yeah, just when it comes out, get out there to HBO Max and give it a watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. So we're gonna move on now. We have some a couple birthdays to talk about. First things first, September 26, 1970, Sherry Moon Zombie. She's best known for being Rob Zombie's spouse and being in all of his movies.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
And not very good at it. I'm sorry.
no, she's a very very mediocre actress, and I don't mean that to disparage actresses or women in general. That's just specifically directed at Sherry Moon Zombie. I don't care for her acting too much. I always say that in Halloween I actually didn't mind her playing Michael's mother. I thought it was even better that she killed herself so early in the movie, but I kid. But no, I mean, in reality, Sherry Moon Zombie is probably a big reason why Rob Zombie continues to try and better himself in the creative sense, and I encourage that.
Sure. I don't know. I'm not a fan of her. But you know what? Whatever. She's wacky and weird and I don't know. Whatever. So be it. Go
She is
on.
definitely wacky and weird,
I mean,
but
just yeah, nothing to say about her. I'm not a fan.
that's
She's
all it matters.
okay in small doses, but she can't carry a movie.
No, not at all. But all right, moving on to September 27, 2002. Somebody who can carry a whole movie, Jenna Ortega, of course known for her role as one of the Carpenter sisters in a couple of the Scream movies, and of course in Wednesday, she is Wednesday Addams. Jenna Ortega's done a lot of stuff. She was a child actress. She did a lot of stuff like Mar. I think she was in Marvel, a couple Marvel movies maybe. And then, she went on to do a lot of bigger things, such as Scream, Wednesday, and there was another one that she was in, Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean,
But
I like Jenna Ortega. I mean, it's I think she's very talented. I would like to see her maybe break out. She plays a very specific type of character in most things. But I do think she has the capability to do more. And there's a fantastic episode in Wednesday season two with a like a Freaky Friday, two people switch places type deal, where she gets to play a complete character out of her wheelhouse that she's not using. It was great. She did a good job. But yeah, whatever. I don't know what I'm rambling about. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jenna Ortega.
very good. But all right, moving on to some upcoming anniversary movie wise. We have a bunch, so let's roll through these. September 25th, 1998, Urban Legend. This is a great one. Urban Legend kind of again plays up on the late the basically the early internet urban legends that were cycling and circling. This was a little bit before my time, but even as a kid, I had some of those urban legends that they talked about in this, the Hook Man, Pop Rocks and Pepsi, and shit like that. So great movie. It is definitely a slice of the late 90s. That is for sure.
Yeah, and we talk about it, right? There's several movies kind of from that time period where it's underappreciated, I think. And I think this one is. I think it's pretty good. I know it spawned several sequels. I don't know what the quality of any of those are, but I think the first one's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't really speak to the quality of the sequel because if I've seen it, it's been a long time. So I won't say, I can't remember. But we're going to jump now to an iconic legend, the September 26, 1975, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh man, there's so many great songs. I was going to do a little riff, but I couldn't choose a song in my brain, The Time Warp, Damn It, Janet. I mean, like, there's so many good songs. And really, this was Rocky Horror Picture Show, in a lot of ways, is a very soul island of representation in the 70s for, people who don't fit the standard binary of gender and gender identity.
Well,
So.
from the 70s on, because it's always been there from since its release, right? It's through the 80s, through on up, it's been that, right? It's a place for people to feel comfortable who may not feel comfortable in other facets of life, but it's a great movie. It's so fun, so well acted, such a great cast. The songs are unbelievable. Longest, I'm pretty sure it's the longest running movie and a theatrical movie of all time because it still plays technically. Theaters do it. We can showings of this all over the place, and then it has never completely stopped, I don't think. Evolved from a theatrical stage show in London. There is a documentary out now that we had a screener link for, but I don't know if it's fully available, but there is a documentary either just out or will come out about the Rocky Horror that's I highly recommend as well. It had everybody in it, from the guy who wrote it to the every actor in it to everybody. It was great. It was really cool listening to it. So, I mean, Rocky Horror's it's great. It's groundbreaking. It's very brave, very bold. You can't speak highly enough about it. It really is a very monumental movie, just in film in general, not just horror.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's huge, and I bet there's probably like a running something like it's like you said they still do showings of it even it's a huge thing in college campuses where they do like a.
I mean, there are venues whose really their main motivation, their main purpose of existing is to have the weekend Rocky Horror shows. I mean, there was a place in Indianapolis that that was the way their billboard and their signage was built because it was based around that they ran this every weekend, and they did some other things too, but this ran every weekend. If I remember the right here for the documentary, since it started playing, it's never stopped playing at least somewhere in America,
Wow.
if I remember right, or if it did stop when it started back up. I'm pretty sure it is the longest running theatrical movie of all time because, like I said, since at least it's released or very close to it, it's always ran somewhere at some time. I mean, and now it's on more screens than a lot of current releases.
No, you're not joking. Oh,
I
that's
mean,
funny.
so, but it's great to see. That's not to mention the live adaptation, back to the stage or the kind of the hybrid with the movie and live. And I mean, these showings are events. They're interactive and they're a lot of fun. And if you see it or go to it and it pushes you out of a comfort zone, then all the better. You deserve to be pushed a little bit.
Absolutely, but very good. This would be good Halloween watching, so keep that on your list, guys. But jumping now to September 29th, 1995, Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. This one is not the best of the Halloween movies, I will say, and I think I say this every time we talk about this movie. I think I probably say this every year. There is a producer's cut of the film that includes a alternate ending as well as some additional clips and stuff that to me make the film a lot better. It makes it, I would say, a much more bearable experience, but also it kind of gives you a little bit of a different outlook on how they were going to approach it creatively. Because oftentimes studios will butcher or they will request changes to fit however they want to fit. So anyways, before I start rambling, not a bad movie, not the best Halloween movie by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but it's all right. There's a lot of people that truly, really love it and love this part of Halloween. I don't think he would mind sharing, but David Rodriguez, who plays bass for Black Flag, me and him text and everything else the other day. I texted to see how he's doing, whatever else. And he's like, "Oh, I'm just watching the best movie in the Halloween franchise, The Curse of Michael Myers, of course." So that apparently is his favorite, but so there are definite people who are lovers of it in the what's it called again? The cult of what is it called?
It's the Mark of Thorn,
Thorn.
the
That's it.
cult
Yeah,
of Thorn.
Mark of Thorn. Yeah, couldn't remember that for some reason. So there's definitely a lot of people out there that are fans of this stuff, but it's okay. Like I said, I love all the Halloween movies for different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, good stuff. Moving on now to September 29th, 2023, Saw X. Saw X was fantastic. It was a real rejuvenation of the franchise, and it is a damn shame that we will likely, perhaps never get another Saw movie. Or depending on what the
Who
studios
knows?
decide to do with it, you don't know. There's so much back and forth. They told us there's going to be a Saw 11 this year, I'm pretty sure. And then that got shot down the shitter real quick, and now we're just kind of in limbo.
Yep. Who knows what'll happen? I don't understand. There's money to be made, but whatever. And we reviewed this. This is in the archives if people want to listen to that.
Yep, it
I
sure
think
is.
actually the next two after this also, I think we have reviews in the archives for.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure too. But very good. But well, anywho, if you want to check out our full review, check out that, and maybe eventually we'll get another one. We'll see. But moving now to September 30th, 2022. Actually, both these movies came out on
There you go.
September 30th, 2020. That's weird. So we have Hocus Pocus 2. It did not live up to Hocus Pocus 1, in my opinion. It was good, it was fun, but it was definitely not as good as the first Hocus Pocus by any stretch.
And I don't think it was going to be, but yeah, it's okay in its own right. Again, these are movies that are kind of fun to watch together, one, two. I think you appreciate the second a little better if you watch them together, but it's okay. I know a lot of people are super fans of the Hocus Pocus stuff. Yeah, I think it's okay, but it's not particularly my thing, but I do enjoy it.
Very good. And then on the same day, Smile. Smile is an infinitely better film than
Yes.
Hocus Pocus 2, but it is also perhaps one of the best modern horror franchises yet. I think that people will one day look back. I mean, don't get me wrong, Smile has a huge following now, but I think people will genuinely, 10, 15 years down the line, they will look back and they will view Smile in much a different light.
Probably.
I think that Smile will likely be one of those movies that, again, we're talking about 30 years from now about how it's one of the best horror movies of all time. But that movie and its sequel are so fucking good.
Yeah, I think there's a few movies in this kind of in the current timescape, since whatever 2020 on. I think that people appreciate and they enjoy, but I think further down the road will even just even grow in stature more. Look at the Black Phone, and they're saying Black Phone 2 is going to turn it up even more. Though, I mean, those are pretty monumental. I mean, just there's just so much stuff, right? Out there right now that are, I don't know, speak. I mean, weapon. Look at weapons this year,
Yeah.
and stuff. I mean, it's just, I think a lot of, and I think that happens probably all the time, right? There's stuff like now we look back to in the 90s that I was there, right? They weren't super appreciated. They were just those wacky little horror movies, and no one. Yeah, you didn't think about them a lot or talk about them like we necessarily do now, but we say it all the time. We watch some of these movies, like, oh, they're underappreciated, right, for their time. And so I think that's something that it always happens when you look back on things. But yeah, I think it'll be weird down the road to see how they look at this time period of horror movies and with movies like Smile and see what the big impact, overall impact is.
Yeah, I think so. But very good. So we have one more. October 1st, 2010. It's crazy to think the October 1st was so soon. But Hatchet 2. That's a hell of a one. The Hatchet movies are a lot of fun. Don't go into them expecting Oscar-winning performances, but Hatchet 2 is a solid, fun movie for sure.
Yeah, I love the Hatchet movies and all that. I think they're just fun, right? They're just fun slashers. That's what they are. They don't try to fool themselves. So I will put all the Hatchet movies in for the anniversary just because those are my thing. Just fun slashers. That's what I look for.
There we go. But very good. So I think that does it for our anniversary. So we're going to jump to some upcoming releases. We got two. The Strangers Chapter 2 is coming to theaters on September 26th, and it is described as, on the final day of their cross-country road trip, a couple's vehicle breaks down, forcing them to take refuge in a remote Airbnb as night falls. Well, this is the description for Strangers Chapter 1.
If I don't understand, but
I think the script was made after. No, I'm kidding. So, Strangers Chapter 2 is actually, well, no, that is the Strangers Chapter 2 summary on IMDb. So,
yes, it is.
let me
I don't
read the
understand.
other one. There's another one. Wait, let me make sure. No, yeah, okay. So, the strangers are back, more brutal and relentless than ever. When they learn that one of their victims, Maya, Madeline Petch, is still alive, they return to finish what they've started. With nowhere to run and no one to trust, Maya must survive another horrific chapter of terror as the strangers, driven by a senseless, unceasing purpose, pursue her, more than willing to kill anyone who stands in their way. So there
There
you
we
go.
go. I guess that sounds a little better.
Yeah,
But
that one says a little more in line with the sequel. But, you know, hey, the first movie was decent. You know, Dave and I talked about this, and I think we talked about it multiple times since then. Strangers 1, it falls victim to the fact that the movie had to be made, right? The movie is a consequence of rebooting the franchise, you know, 20 years later, and you know, it had to be made. That's why it was so milquetoast. That's why it was so middle of the road. We didn't hate it, but we didn't particularly love it. But I think that Strangers Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, which this is supposedly supposed to be a trilogy, I think this movie will be better, and I think the third movie will be better as well. So I'm being positive, looking forward to that myself.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. The only thing that really worries me about it, these are the ones I've been most looking forward to, right? The first one was like, eh, whatever. They had to do it. I want to see how they expand. The one thing I don't know, worries me a little is, I don't know how the word I think that you use in the description, purpose or something like that, right? Where it's like they're going to give a reasoning behind the strangers. And I don't know if I like that, because the strangers to me was always the built on there was no reasoning. These people wanted to do bad things. They found someone to do them to. That's as far as the motivation was. And that was always the scariest part of it to me. I don't know. If you start giving reasoning, I don't know. Better be a good one. So we'll see what happens.
Sure. But very good. So we will watch that, and we will let you guys know our thoughts next week. We also have R.L. Stine's The Pumpkinhead coming to Tubi on October 17th, and it is described as, when his brother Finn disappears and everyone forgets he existed, Sam must unravel the mystery before Finn is gone forever. So obviously, R.L. Stine, I'll watch anything R.L. Stine, but The Pumpkinhead, I'm curious, is this like somehow related to
No, I don't think it's.
Pumpkinhead?
I don't
No?
think it's. From what I read and what I understood, this was a story or book he did. So
Okay.
apparently, I don't know. I don't know who came first, but apparently they didn't care that there was already a pumpkin head. I don't know, but yeah, it sounds fun, right? Kind of in that same vein as Hocus Pocus 2. This is gonna. It'll probably be fun to watch. Probably not intended or made mostly for me, but I'll still go to watch them. You know. Still open-minded enough that I think I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I guess let's see, because I just did a quick Google search. The Pumpkinhead for R.L. Stine, he did a show years ago called The Haunting Hour,
Yeah.
and there was an episode on the Pumpkinhead.
Okay.
But it says there was a story. It looks like, okay, that's not the right one. Okay, there you go. So Pumpkinhead short story, R.L. Stine. It was published August of 1999.
Oh,
So
99?
Pumpkinhead, yeah. So
Well,
Pumpkinhead
that's
was
well
88.
past the movie.
Yeah.
He probably thought 99. No one cares of that. That franchise is dead. No one's remembering that except for the diehard. So I'm good.
It's weird because the book, I mean, at least the short story, from what I understand here, it's not the same, you know, concept as Pumpkinhead. But I mean, I don't know. It's a little. To me, that's a little daring to just be
Well,
like, call that shit Pumpkinhead and print it.
it's R.L. fucking Stine, man. He'll do what he wants.
True. He's just like, I wish a bitch would try. Step up.
He probably made more money than that movie did.
Oh, absolutely.
No offense, I like Pumpkinhead, but R.L. Stine's next level. He's had a lot of success.
I'm sure. I mean, R.L. Stine's probably one of the most prolific prolific writers of all time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I feel like I can put him and Stephen King in the same category, but I feel like Stephen King would be insulted by being compared to R.L. Stine.
I don't know. They feel like they'd be buddies.
I feel like they could too, but anywho.
I feel like R.L. Stine was like the understudy.
He kind of was. He's like Stephen King without all the weird shit, you know?
Yeah, when he was ready, Steven's like, you write for the young adults. I'm not ready to stop for the adults yet.
True. I don't know if Stephen King could tame his weird shit down enough to.
Maybe
I
not,
mean,
but that's why we get so much good shit, though. All
that's true. That's true. But all
right.
right. I think that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So we will take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of him.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back on Listen to Their Screams, and it is review time. We are reviewing the movie Him, written by Justin Tipping, Skip Ronke, and Zach Ayers, directed by Justin Tipping, and produced by Jordan Peele, starring Tyreek Withers, Marlon Wayans, and others. The movie was released September 19th in theaters, and it grossed $13,251,560 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number two. Behind, I don't remember what it was behind. Was there a manga movie or something out? Or an anime movie?
Yeah, there was a Demon Slayer movie, I think, was out.
I think that might have been number one. I can't remember, but I think that's what it was behind.
Probably.
But still, number two is, I think, pretty good. Yeah, and here's my thing, right? Jordan Peele, I'll see a lot of gray area in fans with him, probably. You either like his stuff or you don't like. I like his stuff, right? And I liked him overall, but I don't think it's one of his better works. Now, he was not as involved, I don't believe, in the writing, directing, the hell side. I think he just produced, so I don't know how involved he was in this. And it's not to say the movie was bad. It's just, I don't know. I got where there was what they were doing. I understood what they were doing. You know, and it's just, but it just, I don't know. It was one of those things of, it was there. There was moments, but nothing really ever grabbed me in it. You know, I felt for the characters. I was a little invested in the characters, but I never felt completely connected to the movie. It just didn't. There was never enough sense of drama, or there wasn't enough sense of tension and horror. There wasn't enough of anything to really sink me in. But it was okay. It was fun. It wasn't too long. You know, it didn't drag. So that there's that. But, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad movie at all, that I didn't enjoy it. It's just not what I would rank up there as, I don't know, one of the better movies of the year so far. So, Ike, what do you think?
Well, so I will say I did enjoy the movie. All right. Now, as far as like your Monkey Paw Productions, Jordan Peele related films, I would not put him. I would probably put him at the bottom echelons of, you know, projects that he's been involved with. Like you said, I don't think that he wrote the movie. I don't think this was not like a Get Out or an Us or a or a Nope. I think this one was more of a, you know, hey, Jordan Peele, I you know, he's like, I want to get my hands on something. I want to, you know, get my creative juices flowing. You know, so he got that producing credit and whatnot. And of course, it's Monkey Paw Productions, so that's his production company. So you know, Jordan Peele, I think that a lot of people are going to hear that, and I think it's bad. But a lot of people hear like Jordan Peele and they get all pissy about it, and they're like, "Well, Jordan Peele's overrated, blah blah, whatever." But I liked him. I did. I liked the movie. I think overall, I think my biggest complaint is that the final act, the third act, was kind of landed flat. I feel like they went with the most available option for the ending. There was no twist to it. I feel like they could have done some real wacky shit. I mean, the movie was wacky as hell. I mean, that is easily one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen. And
Definitely.
I mean, for a while. But I do have to make two very specific positives or comments. Marlon Wayans and Tyreek Withers, who played the main two people, which is Isaiah and Cam, absolutely fucking phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Marlon Wayans, people do not give him enough credit as an actor. I mean, I've seen Marlon Wayans in so much stuff, I mean, over the years. And obviously a lot of people, when they think of Marlon Wayans, they think of, like, the Scary Movie stuff. They think of White Chicks. They think of A Haunted House. And that's all fine and good. Like, those are all movies he was in. I'm sure he loved those movies. But this is such a more serious role, right? But he still was able to be himself in the role of Isaiah. And he was creepy. He was cruel. He was borderline maniacal and manipulative. And, I mean, this movie, I really will say, while the movie itself kind of fell flat at the end, the messaging is fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. The concept of idolatry and, you know, people putting everything above everything, right? Putting sports above everything, sports above family, right? In the movie, Isaiah says, you know, some people say it's God, family, football. He's like, to me, it's football, family, God, you know? Kind of, you know, and that's not a spoiler or nothing, but, you know, it's just saying that, like, this movie is speaking to the fact that people idolatrize or idolatize, whatever, football and football players, and they put them on this pedestal, and getting onto that pedestal is the hard part, and that's the whole story. And, you know, in the trailer, and this is a huge thing in the movie, you know, Marlon Wayans' character says, what are you willing to do to, you know, to succeed?
Yeah.
And what are you willing to give up? And, you know, and Tyreek Withers' character, Cam, says everything. And that's basically the whole gist of the movie. I mean, really it is. But like I said, without rambling too much, to me, my favorite part of this movie was watching Marlon Wayans just do his thing. He was fantastic. He's in great shape for the movie. He played the character amazingly. Like, that was my favorite part of the movie, hands down. And it was also great to see Tyreek Withers. I've not really seen much of him in other movies, so it made me want to go out and watch some other things. He was also, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, he played Teddy Spencer, which was one of the people, of course. I think I liked him a little bit better. I liked him a little bit better in this movie, but but anyways, before I, cause again, I'm starting to ramble here.
That's
all right. He was also in Legacies. I didn't know that. Anyhow. So before I get too far off on a tangent, the movie was great to an extent. First two acts were great. I feel like the first act was pretty good. The second act was amazing, but then it was like you reach that third act and it just kind of like deflated everything for me. And the cinematography was really great. I feel like they did a lot of really cool shots. And I feel like they really, really tried. They really tried to make it unique and interesting, but it's hard to really push that all the way through when it starts to fall flat. But anyways, my biggest issue is the third act. My biggest positive is the two main characters were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, the whole cast was great, right? Everybody in it was good. But yeah, those two definitely had a chemistry. This is probably Marlon Wayans being the most genuine ever, because there's a lot of his characteristics, I think, and his humor that he's like, that he uses in this movie. But he did a great job. They both did. Again, it wasn't the acting. It was all, you know, it was all great. Lord, if they didn't deliver, you had someone else in those roles. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to save in the movie, but it's a good movie. It's not, I'm not saying it's not fun or whatever else. It's one of those movies, like you said, it was wacky. It seemed like they were trying things until it came to the finish. And then they kind of copped out and went with the obvious, easy stuff. When I think, hell, you might as well, you're already there. Why not just, you know, do something wacky at the end too? But so be it.
It kind of felt like they tried to land the plane a little too early, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like they were going for something. They were aiming for a target, but they kind of fell a little short there because And honestly, I feel like they could have gone the full nine. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I was trying to think of a football analogy. They could have gone for the 2-point conversion here, but they really didn't. They really didn't. They said, you know what, fucker, we're just going to kick a field goal. We're already here. Might as well go the safe route. But I think that they probably should have gone with a little more risky route. They probably should have gone a little funkier. Like, because here's the thing. I get the message of the movie, right? The whole message of the movie. And without spoiling the movie, the sort of solution is that basically we don't go the route of going the full nine, right? He doesn't take the easy route. Yeah. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to elaborate. And I get why they did that way. But I think that they could have gone about that a little funkier, or maybe done like a rug pull. I don't know. But I think they could have done something different. That's my biggest issue with this.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you go. I mean, that's in a lot of cases, that's kind of a fault in modern horror. There are some times where it's like they're afraid to do that wild ending or that wild turn and really go with it, right? And I don't know, either, you know, they're afraid. It's like they're afraid to fail. They're trying too hard to be safe and hope that they, you know, have middle of the ground or better. And they're not willing to swing though to really be that upper echelon. But so be it. I don't know. Him did well in the box office, so I guess it's hard to be too critical. But like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing The Strangers, Chapter 2. So come back for that. Make sure you subscribe to us so that you do not miss that. Before we get out of here, I'd like to say thank you to the wives and then to all of you listeners and followers for everything you do. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. All the news that we share on here, we share on the date, and plus lots more stuff that doesn't even make the show. When stuff breaks, sometimes we just put it out there. So we're on pretty much any platform, though, so subscribe to us. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 in Screams, and you will find us. Before we close, anything, Ike, that you want to add?
Oh, man. Really, my big thing is I'm glad to be back. I heard last week's movie was a good one, so I need to go check that out.
It was.
I'll probably have to wait until it comes to streaming, but, you know, I'm excited. Her was good. But otherwise, I'm just, you know, I'm glad to be back. And hopefully Strangers Chapter 2 is good, too. Otherwise, I'm going to be upsetty spaghetti. So I'll say.
That's right. We'll see. But trust me, you'll know next week. We won't hold back. So hopefully Mellow Dave with his THC shot wasn't too bad today. I did find myself a couple times felt like I was rambling. And then I got to it. And it's like, you know what? I really have no idea how long I was talking for. And so the good thing is, you know, I could check like the record times. I'm like, oh, I wasn't too bad. I didn't go for too long. So yeah, the THC shot's a little weird to be doing this on, but man, I don't know. Hopefully it wasn't too bad. I know I rambled about a couple of things I maybe wouldn't normally ramble on, like this, like right now. Here's a great example, but so be it. I think we kept it to our hour limit, even with that. So yay, yay. So, all right. Welcome back, Ike. Thank you once again to Monica for filling in last week. So let's close out. And wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.